We are here for worship. We are here to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want us to be in the mood of worship now as we begin the service. Blessed be the name of the Lord,
who is worthy to be praised and adored. And so we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be the name.
Worship it.
Father and our God, most excellent reality, we thank you. We bless your holy name, for there is no other God aside you. Every other God is a man-made God. They have eyes they cannot see. They have ears they cannot hear. They have mouth they cannot speak. But you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are the one we call upon and answer us. You are the one who loves us so much until you will die for us so that we might have eternal life. You are worthy to be worshipped. You are worshipped to be praised. We are here this morning to do that which is expected of all. You created us solely to worship you. And we have come to perform our duty this morning. Ancient of days, accept our worship in the name of Jesus Christ. Our Father and our God, we cannot do without you. We surrender all we are going to do this day to you, Lord. We pray that you come and bless our worship in the name of Jesus Christ. That everything we shall do here before we depart, that you take preeminence in the name of Jesus Christ. Let your spirit come and take control as we begin now in the name of Jesus Christ. Your children will be joining this service all over the world. Father, we pray that today's service make it a service of an encounter in the name of Jesus Christ. That every soul here present or connected online will at the end of today's service say of a truth he or she has encountered you in the name of Jesus Christ. Your children, some will be coming with a burden. Father, let those burdens be rolled away in the name of Jesus Christ. Make it a service of signs and wonders in the name of Jesus Christ. The people will not believe except there are signs and wonders. Father, let notable miracle take place in today's service in the name of Jesus Christ. That by the time we shall be living here, Lord, we pray that everyone will have a reason to testify. For in Jesus' most powerful name, we pray. Can that amen be louder than that? You may be seated. Put your hands together for the Lord. You can do much better. You are not clapping for me. I said, put your hands together for the Lord. Your maker, your savior, your redeemer, the owner of your soul, the captain and the pillar of your soul, without whom you are nothing. It is in him you live, you move, you have your being. Come on, put all together for him. You can do much better. Without him, you are gone. Without him, you are nothing. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. We are going straight to our Sunday school. We began this topic last week. Who, whether you were here, or you were online, or you watch the rebroadcast of last service, Sunday service, can somebody remind us of the topic that we took, that we want to continue and end today? Please give Ademai.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The foolishness of the man.
Is that the topic?
The foolishness of the God.
The foolishness of God. Come on, put your hands together for her. She got it. The topic is displayed on the screen. The foolishness of God. The foolishness of God. We began it by the special grace of God. We shall conclude it today. And the reason for which God has inspired this topic will be fulfilled in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, we are looking at this topic just to call our attention to one truth, that the God who has called us for salvation is not a man. And that because he's not a man, he has made it crystal clear in the scripture that his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Because circumstances, situation make us to think that God relates with us the way we relate, react to situations the way we react. We are here to call our attention to this truth that God is not a man. He's a spirit. And we must approach him with this mindset so that our walk with him can be fruitful, so that our relationship with him can be beneficial to us, so that we won't just be calling upon God and it seems as if he's not answering us. If we don't approach it with the mindset that the God that has called us for salvation is not a man, the way he does his things is almost opposite to the ways human beings do their things. And as we continue this morning, the Lord will grant us understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. We have looked at some of the biblical actions of God that look foolish to mankind, but inherent is the wisdom of God displayed. We look at one of them was the salvation through the cross. That how could God decide to save mankind through the death of his son on the cross of Calvary? To human mind, it is foolish. That God, who has all power, has better ways that will look very reasonable to save mankind. Why should salvation? It is foolish to human mind, to a natural man, that salvation, the only way a man can access salvation is through the cross. This has been well explained. We also look at another action of God that looks so foolish, is that God uses the weak, the ordinary people, the commoners, the people that God, that when you look at them, you don't think that God can use them to achieve purpose. And we studied this last week, how God used Moses, even David, the people, even David, Moses, and mentioned so many, even Paul, Peter, the servants of God that he called, the people that are that when you look at their qualification, look at their attainment, what they've been able to achieve, they will not come to mind. These are the people that God specializes in using. And to human mind, it is foolish. We also look at the methods that God uses in accomplished things. when you compare the ways, the methods by which God uses to accomplish things, you put it side by side with the ways of man, that human mind, you will definitely conclude that God's ways are foolish. And we took examples of what happened when the Israelites, how they conquered Jericho, the method that God used. If you look at it, you will see that this method looks foolish. How can dancing around a city bring down the wall of Jericho? How can ordinary catapult bring down a veteran, somebody who has all the experience in the war? When you look at these methods of God, to a human mind, you will see, you will conclude that God's ways are foolish. We also went a step further. Another biblical action that to conquer, to human mind, you need to apply force to be able to conquer. When somebody goes to war, the evidence I ask that is a winner of that battle is that we conquer the war. That is what the human mind will expect God to do. But Jesus Christ conquered the war, not by force, not by any war, not by any battle, but by what? Through death, through suffering, he died. It was a principle. If you put this way of God, just oppose it with the way human beings do their things, you will conclude that God's ways are foolish. But it's because we have forgotten the fact that his ways are past finding out by man. So today, by his grace, we shall conclude this. We want to look at three other. There are many more, but we just want to bring out three more. That when you see, you will think that God is foolish. But if you look at the way he has chosen to achieve that thing, you will see a display of highest wisdom. You will see that God is actually displaying his wisdom through this action you think is foolish. And which one are we looking at this morning? Reaching the world through persecution. Reaching the world through persecution. But I want us to pay attention this morning. I want us to listen because there is a wisdom we are to learn. To a human mind, to a natural man, persecution kills. Persecutions subjugate. Persecution is a way to kill, to destroy. The gospel, God has decided, even Jesus Christ said, before he will come to rapture the people whom he has redeemed, what will happen to the gospel? He said the gospel of the kingdom must what? Must be preached where? Must be preached where? Round the world. I want you to pay attention, technicians. It's too loud. The mic is too loud. I would appreciate if it could be turned down a bit. Praise the Lord. Of all methods that God will use to ensure that the gospel of the kingdom will spread around the world at that time, even the internet we are seeing today, did God not have the power to bring about eternity through which the gospel could be preached? Please, it is a class. I want us to interact. Is there anything that God could not do? Can God wanted the gospel to be preached, to be spread throughout the whole world. Does God not have the ability to raise people across the continent of the world and make them to believe the gospel? Now, of all the methods available that could be used and we deliver the result that God is looking for, of all, it is the one that, humanly speaking, it is opposite. I don't know whether somebody is following this morning. Persecution to a human mind should be the most unlikely method or way or medium. When you persecute, what you are, persecution will bring death. When you are persecuting, you are suffocating, you are injuring. What up if you put any human being in a place and you begin to torture and torture? What will happen? It will die. And when it dies, without it continue to a human mind, it won't. Persecution should not be among the options that God should use to a human mind to spread his gospel, because persecution kills, persecution subjugates, persecution exterminates. But here we are, of all, the gospel was committed to the disciples. But as a result of fear, when James was killed, and even Peter was arrested, what came upon the church? What came upon the church? Fear. And they were in their caves, they were hiding. But if they are hiding, how could the will of God be done? By spreading the gospel, how will it be possible? So, you know, we have taken a study when we are looking at the seals. If they ask you today, as a Christian, the persecution of the Jews, who engineered it? This is a Bible study. Who caused the disciples to be persecuted? Who caused it? The persecution? They were killing them. No, they were first of all scaring them. When the persecution could not stop, we have taken the seals, the horse rider. They said the horse changed from white to red, and it was a great martyrdom. And we record that 78 million of Christians were killed. To you, or even we before, the persecution, who occasioned it, who engineered it? Who, before, we thought it was what? It was, I took a study about the appearances of devil, how devil always appeared to hinder the progress of God, how he appeared in heaven, how he appeared in the Garden of Eden using serpent, how he used Herod to kill those young children. And we went on to think that the persecution of the Christian, we thought that it was Satan. But if you look at what the plan of God wanted the gospel to be spread. And the people to spread it, they were afraid. And God was the one that what? Engineered them. Satan was just a tool in the hand of God to achieve God's purpose. And I want you to take a lesson from this. If you know that it is the purpose of God to be fulfilled, to spread the gospel around the world, and God has chosen his own way, you can't question him. Persecution. Then you will know that those killings of those disciples was not by Satan. Was not, because the purpose of God was fulfilled through it. The person that engineered it was God. Are we together? So Satan sometimes is a tool in the hand of God. At times he thinks he's doing wickedness, but if you look at it critically, you will know that it is the will of God being carried out. If God could call Nebuchadnezzar, what did he call him? He said, my servant. What did he call Pharaoh? He said, for this purpose, I have what? Raised thee. I want a daughter of God this morning, the son of God, to learn from here. We are the bride of Christ. We are learning the ways of God, so that we can walk with him acceptably. Sometimes, you see, you are married. Probably you are experiencing a delay in conception. The next thing that you are thinking of is what? Your mother-in-law, a witch, a wizard. If you know that you are a daughter of God, a son of God, and you know his thoughts and plan towards you is what? It's of good to take you to an expected end. You will know it's just because of where we are coming from, Africa. Every little thing, we attribute it to Satan. But can I tell you, most of situations that look negative, most, not all, it looks to you as negative. It is actually the hand of God that was to achieve his own purpose. He said he is the potter. We are who? We are the clay. He created us for what? For his pleasures. If you are a child of God, God can use you for anything to achieve his purpose. God can kill a child of God to achieve his purpose. Is it not possible? How many of those disciples were killed? And through their killing, the gospel was preached even much more than what they were saying. Many people surrendered their lives to Christ as a result of the martyrdom. So, because I have heard that the religious people, they say it's not possible for God to kill his child. You are a clay. God can use you to do anything. So, the persecution that actually achieved the gospel to be spread was what? Was a means that God adopted. Even though his children were killed. But was his purpose achieved? To human mind, it is foolish. Of all methods to spread gospel, it is persecution that God shows. But even though it looks foolish, did he achieve the purpose? Did he achieve the purpose? That is the way of God for us. It looks so foolish to human mind, but in it, it is a display of highest wisdom. And that is why we are learning. This way might be awkward, but if you only you will obey, you will see at the end of it that God is displaying his wisdom. So, if you read Acts of Apostles chapter 8, verse 1 to 4, let's read it. The apostles, the disciples, let's read this scripture. They were already afraid. And Saul was consenting unto the death. And at that time, there was what? There was what? A great persecution. At that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all what? Scattered abroad. God shows persecution. It was not Satan. It was God that brought it about. Even though to us, it is foolish. How will God bring persecution against his children for his purpose? To spread the gospel. To human mind, it's foolish, but it's a display of the wisdom of God. Praise the Lord. Let's quickly look at another action that looks so foolish to us, but in it, calling the unlikely and the rejected. In this context, the unlikely and the rejected is not as servants, but for what? For salvation. Calling them into the kingdom. To a human mind, it is absurd. To a natural man, it is foolish that those that will be called, that will embrace salvation, will be the rejected. The poor, the people who have no connection, the people, the outcasts. Why is this so? The people of the world expect that when salvation will come, it will be those that are politically connected. It will be those that are socially placed, that they are known, they have their social status. And that is why salvation is not being appreciated by the, so to speak, the highly placed in the world. Because they expect that if salvation that cost God is only begotten son to die, that for somebody to access that salvation, it should be, you will do a great thing to be able to access it, and it is only going to be those who are very rich, who are very connected, who have sexual status, or the intellectuals should be those that should be found in the kingdom of God. So it is foolish. Let's look at Matthew chapter 9. But there's something they are missing that makes them to think that it is foolish that God will adopt the salvation of his children to be for only the lowly, the outcast, the rejected, the unlikely. Let's read this scripture, Matthew 9:10. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans, many what? Publicans, and who? Sinners, came and sat down with him and his disciples. Did Jesus call this one? They are the one that came. Salvation, God decided. The wish of God is to save the whole world. But we know that the whole world cannot accept salvation. The whole world, and one of the reasons why they cannot accept it is what we are also looking at. He said, when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Verse 12. But when Jesus asked them, he said unto them, look at it. They that be what? They that be old need not a physician, but they that are sick. I want somebody to pick a lesson here. Salvation is for those that what? That have a need. Salvation is for those who have a need for their soul to be saved. The politically connected, the socially placed people, the intellectual, the rich, they will not see the need for their salvation to be saved. And that is why they will not come. Matthew 5 verse 3. Matthew 5 verse 3. Matthew chapter 5 verse 3. IT. Matthew chapter. Said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. For what? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's not poor in material things. Poor in the spirit. People who saw the need for their soul to be saved. They know that they have nothing. They have no ability. They have no connection. They have no material thing. They have no money for their soul to be saved. And because they know on their own, they cannot save their soul. Then they saw the need and they what? They reach out to the one who has the power to save their soul. Are we together? It is only the commoners, the rejected, the poor, but those who are connected, who have their uncles, who themselves are in position of authority. They look at them, do I lack anything? They will not, do I lack anything? They will not see the need for that soul to be saved. Not that God is biased, that is calling the lowly, that is calling those that are weak, that is calling those that are not rich. Apostle Paul makes it clear. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. He's talking to you and I. He said, for ye see your calling into the kingdom of God. Brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, by social standard, worldly accusation, that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. Who are the people that are called? Verse 27. But God has chosen who? The foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. God bypassed, because it is you and I, we saw the need for our soul to be saved, and God gave us the grace. The grace was extended to all, but these people disconnected themselves because of the positions, the affluence, the fame they have. They turned down salvation. And to human mind, this is what stumbled them. They expect that salvation should be for those who are connected, those who are politically placed, those who have fame, those who in authority, they can speak and the world will hear them. That is what human mind. If God is coming to save, they are the people that should be found. But little did they know that God builds his kingdom on what? On grace and not merit. If it is for qualification, you and I will not enter the kingdom. If it is for material things, that salvation is by material things, your money. We will not smell salvation. Can we put our hands together for the Lord? That God makes salvation for all, for those who will see the need for it. Praise the Lord. And finally, on my list, the list is inexhaustible. The list of actions of God that a human mind will see and consider foolish, but in it is a display of wisdom. You cannot exhaust it. But I have taken 7 out of these numerous actions to draw our attention to a very important truth. Another dimension of God's wisdom. Another dimension of God's wisdom that foolishly, that looks so foolish to human mind, is that God wants to bless you. It's the mystery of offering or giving as a pathway to increase. What do I mean? That God wants to bless you, want to change your condition, want to change your status. And it will have to employ the means of offering. You know, even our daddy has said it repeatedly, the mystery of offering. God that is all-powerful, God that is omnipotent, wants to change your condition, wants to do something about you. Why does he most times ask for offering? Ask that you must give something. It's not that God is preaching a transactional gospel. No. Let's look at Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It's a principle of God that every child of God here or connected must know. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shake it together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye met with that, it shall be measured to you again. Please pay close attention. To a human mind, a natural man, when you are giving, to them you are doing what? You are losing it. You are losing ownership. At least it's leaving your custody. You are losing it. But in the economy of God, that thing you are losing to human mind is actually a principle that you are employing for a great what? Multiplication. Praise the Lord. Look at it. Looks so absurd. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 1. Cast your bread. Let's read. Say, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Look at it with a physical eye. How is it possible you put your bread on top of water? Once you put it to a natural mind, it's what? It's gone. But in the kingdom, that which that you have cast, what happens? It will come back to you in what? It will come back to you in what? Another one that confuses me as a natural man until I became spiritual. It is that Proverb 11, 24. Each time I dissect that scripture, I said, this is an absurdity. This is ridiculous. Look at it. He said, there is one. That what? That scatter it. And yet, how is it possible? The little I have. You know, when I have a little, to a human mind, for security, for me to have more, I should keep it now and be expecting, I'll be guarding more. But he is saying that little, for me to increase. But please, I need to exercise caution here. This little is not to go and scatter it in smoking and drinking alcohol. The scattering here is to scatter it into the progress of the kingdom. Praise the Lord. He said he scattered it, and yet, what happens? The more he scattered the little in his hands, in helping the poor, in propagating the gospel, in building the body of Christ, what happens to him? It's increasing. Do the mathematics now. You have a little. You are giving it out. What is supposed to happen to it? To be reducing. But in this kingdom, what happens? Have you ever seen anyone? If you have seen, you can tell me. Since my Christian faith, I have never seen one who special. I don't know. A neighbor of mine, I don't know, it is a principle he caught long ago. It was my neighbor. He was cutting. In fact, I was living in an apartment that my brother rented for me. So I am the owner of that apartment. This one was cutting with somebody. He is a worker in a company very far in Songo side. His salary at that time was just 8,000 naira. Do you know what this brother would do? Out of that 8,000 naira that we pay transport, if anybody ever has a genuine need, in fact, one that was next to me has an apartment. He was having issues with his job. Anytime he wanted to pay, he will come and meet this one that is cutting. He will help him to pay. If you come to him for a need, I will be going to school, I will not have transport. I will meet him. He will give to me. Nobody comes to meet with him with problem. Even if he doesn't have, he will go and borrow. He will make sure that problem is solved. Brethren, shortly after, somebody who was laboring to go, where the company was Songo, something happened. He got a job very close around that area. His condition began to change. Now, for God to bless him, that all those actions he was taking is the principle of the kingdom was fulfilling. The relationship that he was into, all of a sudden, the relationship broke. Before you know it, somebody who was highly placed in Lagos State employment, they began a relationship and he was married with her. Today, somebody who was cutting, helping the people, he has a house built in Lagos. His children are in the university. Most of the people who were bring, they were gathering their little. They are yet to get a plot of land in Lagos. A principle of the kingdom that looks so foolish to human mind. You have the little, but you are scattering it into the kingdom of, into the propagation of the gospel. To human mind, they will call you, it's foolish. But I tell you, nobody specializes in scattering that little he has, for the progress of the gospel has ever been stranded. I don't know if you have, you tell me. Have you ever found one? It's a principle of the kingdom that everyone who wants to have a fruitful relationship with him should. You don't come into the kingdom with the wisdom of the world. It will not profit you. Let's read Acts of Apostles 20, verse 35. This is Paul admonishing us, who has caught the revelation about this offering or giving in the kingdom. Acts 20 says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to what? Support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord. Jesus, how he said, what did he say? It is more what? Did he say it is more blessed to receive? Did he say it is more blessed to receive? He said it is more blessed to do what? To give than to what? To receive. To a human mind, it is foolish. That the more you are giving, the more you are becoming blessed. Please, the year is very fresh. It's still early. As you go along, make it a priority. Let that be a paradigm shift in your mentality as regards your work with God. So that at the end of the year, you will be among those that will be counting your blessing. And it shall be so in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's take some examples of the people or where this foolish looking action of God was practiced, and we saw the wisdom displayed. Let's look at the story of the widow of Zarephath. 1 Kings chapter 17. We are familiar with that story. And the word of the Lord, look at it, we are familiar about, just because it's a study. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have what? Commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Verse 10. And so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her. Look at this. I want us to take a lesson from here. And said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Verse 11. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. Verse 12. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. It was their last meal. They were just to eat it and die. But look at, to a human mind, if it me, a natural man, then, if Elijah should tell me this, I will tell you, you are a wicked man. You are a wicked man. How can you desire this kind of a thing? When the last me, look at, and Elijah said unto her, fear not. What we need to tap into the realm of abundant blessings is faith. He said, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Look at the decree. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of me shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. But that woman, being a woman of faith, who knew the principle of the kingdom, that as Elijah is a man of God, if he has spoken, he will do what? He will bring it to far. He hearkened to that voice. Brethren, we need to be spiritual. We need to know the principle of the kingdom. If you were in that woman's shoe, what will you do? Will you not say it's wicked and missed your hour of blessing? In you is sanctified in force. And as the story goes, till God sent the rain, that woman never lacked. Even in this economy of this country, as bad as it is, those who are keen into the kingdom principles, they shall never express famine nor drought. You will not express famine in the name of Jesus Christ. Because you are going to kill into the kingdom principles, the ways of God, that are not ways of man. Another one, look at the boy with 5 loaves of bread and fishes, and 2 fishes. Time will not permit us to read that story. It's a story we are familiar with, that we can find it in John chapter 6. He had only 5 and 2. But what did he do? He released it to the master. He released it. I don't know what you have. You are believing God for abundance. You are believing God for breakthrough. But you are holding on to it. You are holding on to it. Your human mind is telling you, if you release this, what will you be left with? Will you not begin to beg? But have you put the master to test? He said, test and see that the Lord is good. He released it. Does it make sense to human mind? 5 plus 2 and compare with 5,000 men apart from the women and the children. What happened? They were fed. Out of what? Out of what? He released just that little and see the. You know why this thing is very, very imperative? It's very, very instructive. It is our year of multiplication. Except you sow, you cannot experience multiplication. It is a principle of the kingdom. I'm not talking about financial things alone. Except you sow, you can sow your time, you can sow your good words, you can sow your counsel. You can sow your resources, but make sure you are sowing good seeds. That is where you can experience true multiplication. That boy gave the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And what happened? And what happened? A great surplus. He released it. Do you know the leftover? Who do you think Jesus will give those leftover to? Who do you think he will give? That boy will go home with what? With what? Abundance. Abundance, the law, the things that make us not to see into the realm of where God is taking us to, fear, doubt, the Lord will remove it from us this year in the name of Jesus Christ. Time will know. Look at Solomon. Look at Solomon. Offering. Offering. Nobody commanded him. You can read the 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3 to 5. We are familiar with this scripture, we are Bible student. He offered 1,000 burnt offering. 1,000. And God came to him and asked him. He gave him a blank check. Ask. It's a mystery. Ask. He did not go and pray. He did not go and fast. He did not go to mountain. He did not go to camp. He only offered 1,000. And it is not your offering, your giving is not in the amount. It's about the heart with which you are giving it. To acknowledge him, to show appreciation, to let him know that he's the source of what you are. If you offer it in that mindset, I tell you, there shall be an honor to that sacrifice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't know what you are believing God for, but God, I think there's a testimony here that I had. The brother was selling in Ladipo, and he has in his warehouse full of goods, and these goods has refused to sell for months, for years, and he has been coming for business breakthrough, praying, God, enlarge my goods. Let me explain business breakthrough. Let me explain business breakthrough. He has been praying, and it came. It was on Tuesday morning, and God told him, go and empty your pocket. What? Why must God tell him to empty his pocket? He said, he gave everything apart from his transport fee. He put it in the offering box. And it was going. The God told him, I said, empty your pocket. I didn't say you should leave some. It was, how will I get back to my shop? But it was instruction of the Lord. And brother emptied his pocket and left. God being so merciful and so kind, he got to the road. He offered, he saw somebody who offered a lift for him to get to the market. As he was getting to his shop, when he saw the crowd at the shop, he was thinking probably his boy has committed a crime and people were trying to, he could not enter, he had to hide somewhere looking at what was happening. And he thought, they will buy and carry and go. He was moving closer and said, goods that have refused to sell for years, that shop was almost empty that day. Then you will think, but he has been praying, he has been crying. Can God not bring those customers to come? Why must he tell him to what? To offer a seed. The ways of our God. The ways of our God, they are past finding out. Romans says so. His ways are not our ways. His ways are not what? Our ways. Whatever he tells you to do, whatever he tells you to do, as long as in line with his word, do it. So we want to look at why God works this way. The way that looks foolish to human mind, but yet it displays his wisdom. Number one, to reveal his glory. God does not want to share his glory to his anybody. That is why he will want to display it, so that you will not stay in your ignorance and take that glory to man. He wants to reveal it. That was why he chose Moses. If God has chosen somebody who is eloquent, who is connected with Pharaoh, the deliverance of the Israelite, you will have attributed it to the connection, the eloquence, the power, so to speak. But he picked Moses and saw every other places. Why did he have to choose David? It's to reveal his glory, and so that he will not be taken to anybody. Number two, to remove what? To remove what? Human boasting. That is why nobody can claim that the salvation, it is by your works. Salvation is by what? Grace. So that nobody can say it is by the works of my hand, it's by my righteousness that I am saved. To remove human boasting. To what? To strengthen faith. Number three, so that you can depend on him and him alone. Told them, he told Jehoshaphat, see so many enemies compass. He's supposed to tell them, human mind, that they should go and train his army very well so that they'll be able to counter. What way did God choose? He said they should go and gather singers. Does it not look foolish to gather singers just to praise me and you will see the battle be fought? Is it not ridiculous to human mind? But God is doing all that so that you will put your dependence, your trust, your faith only in him to strengthen faith. Also, to very closely related to that point, to establish what? Dependence on him. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Say, but we have this treasure in 80 verses, that the excellency of the power may be what? May be of God and not of us. Let's read 1 Corinthians 1, 27 to 30 to drive home this point. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Okay, before we take the conclusion, let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Verse 28, we are reading. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, as God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Verse 29. That what? Look at it. Look at why God is doing all this thing. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Conclusion. What men mock, God what? Uses. Things that God uses, they are the things that are despised, rejected by men. What men reject, God exalts. What looks foolish becomes the wisdom that God, that saves the world. The cross looks so foolish, but through the cross, God has saved you and I. Brethren, the conclusion of the whole matter is that God's ways are not our ways. We have been called into a relationship, not a religion. We are called into what? A relationship, into a religion. And as it is a relationship, God will be talking to you. And it is the basis of your response that will determine how fruitful that relationship will be. That is why it is so important that we study his ways so that we can have fruitful work with him. I still have 10 more minutes to go. I don't know if we have any questions from this study we started last week. And by God's grace, I believe we have done justice to it. I don't know any question. Is there any question? Give him the mic.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I have a little confusion based on the teaching. Here you say, God achieved victory through persecution. You know, in the Bible days, a country presently called Turkey today has a name in the Bible days called Asia.
Yeah, Asia Minor.
And in that country, during the days of apostles, it was clear Christian country dominated by Christians.
That's right.
And many of the apostles, many of God's children were killed, massacred, persecuted in that place.
Yes.
So my question is that today, Turkey is a country dominated by Muslims today. In fact, it's hard to see presence of Christians in Muslim in Turkey today. While persecution, killings, torture heavily happened in Asia those days, even the seven churches age that recorded in Revelation, it was in Asia, presently Turkey today. Yes, then why is it that all those persecution, killings, torture of the apostles and the Christians didn't achieve victory in Turkey? Why is it that today it's a Muslim-dominated state? That is my question.
Thank you very much. Yeah, the essence of this is study is to have clarity, not confusion. Brother, killing as Christians, killing is not the death of a believer. Is it the end of his life? If a child of God is killed as a faith, it is a what? A transit to what? To glory. In Asia, just like we have said, the disciples, as a result of the killing, the persecution, they were afraid, they were hiding. God needed his will to be done by spreading the gospel. There was no how they could spread and scatter. We read it, Acts of Apostles chapter 8. When the persecution began, they were what? They were scattered. The persecution, the killing of those disciples, actually, the history records it. If you read that Revelation chapter 6, verse 8, that the horse rider from white changed to what? Changed to red. Serious matter down. History records it. That a lot of people became saved through the killings of those disciples. Many people gave their life to what? To Christ. The killing of those believers. What God is looking at is not their death, because there is a better resurrection. What God is looking at through their killing, it is the souls that will be saved. Their killing, did this save souls? If their killing brought about the salvation, the gospel being spread everywhere, the will of God was done. I don't know whether I am making sense to you. That killing that you are seeing, if I, as a believer who has received the Holy Ghost, if I die today, brother, it is an addition. Death to a child of God is not a minus. It's a what? It's a plus. They were killing them. Is the purpose of God being fulfilled? That is what you look at. The purpose of God in spreading the gospel through that persecution, it was fulfilled. Every child of God in that was already saved. If today is being taken over by Islam, the children of God there, the purpose, the will of God has been achieved. And that is what matters, not the dead. Praise the Lord.
You have rightly answered, Teacher Sam. But so that they will know that our Father has plenty of children. To back you up. That's a very good question, sir. But from history, what is seen has already been fulfilled. What our teacher is saying is that the persecution of Christians caused them to spread all over the world. So the more they persecuted them, the more they were spreading all over. And concerning Turkey, that persecution is exactly what caused what you are saying. The nation was already a Christian nation long before Islam came as a result of the same persecution. So coming to ask that the God's purpose was already achieved. So long before Islam came, about 600 years after Christ, that nation was already a Christian nation as a result of the same persecution. So that is done. History has taken place. What he is teaching has already happened. If they were not persecuted, the whole of that Asia Minor would not have been a Christian nation. And then the more they were persecuted, after they have planted the seed in Asia, the people were already established in the doctrine of Christ. Persecution rose up. It caused them to still spread all over the world. So the same principle is in play. That is why we need to understand John chapter 12, verse 23 and 24. John chapter 12, verse 23 and 24. It says something. That except a corn of wheat And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verse 24. Very, very, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth for much fruit. Now, this is fulfilled in two areas. Firstly, it is fulfilled in Christ. The reason why the Lord Jesus had to die is so that he will produce many other Jesuses. Are they here today? Now, this is also fulfilled in the history of the church. If the church had not died through persecution, the gospel would not have spread all over the world. So in the same Asia Minor that is now Turkey, persecution caused them to become a Christian nation. And by the time Islam came, the gospel had already gone all over. I hope you know that even Egypt, in Apostle Paul's journey, he got to Egypt. Many people don't know. When Apostle Paul was preaching the gospel, his missionary trip, he reached Africa. He got to Egypt, Alexandria, that's the name of that city. So the gospel, Apostle Paul made a statement in Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1, there's a particular statement, let me not quote it often. It says that, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23. It says, if you continue in the faith, Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard. Now, listen to this statement, church. It says, and which was preached to what? Which was preached to what? Every creature which is under heaven. So from this statement, you can know that the gospel actually spread all over the world. Some apostles died in India. Some died in North Africa. Asia Minor, where you are speaking about, the persecution came, but the purpose of God there was already fulfilled. So it did not hinder the purpose of God at all. If not, to be saying that it's not just Asia Minor, if I would take your question, why is Islam? Islam has over 1 billion adherents presently today. And yet, Islam was about 600 years after Christ. I see them spreading like fire. So are we going to say that the persecution of the church did not allow the gospel to spread all over the world because Islam is spreading today? No, the purpose is already fulfilled. There's no part of the world you will get today, even China, North Korea, there's no part of the world you will get to today that you will not see a witness of the gospel. And this gospel spread through church history, as teacher Oluyeye was saying, this gospel spread because of the persecution that came upon the church. In fulfillment of John chapter 12, verse 24. If they don't die, they will not produce much fruit. And because of them, we have received the gospel today. Can we put our hands together for the Lord? That's to add to what Pastor Samuel was saying. Church, let's be on our feet. Further questions will be taken on Thursday by 7 p.m.